I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind a couple of telephone calls right here. I wouldn't mind if not a full phone call segment, but at least a partial phone call segment. So let me encourage you, 1-800-636-8686. Quick reminder, I've got Tom Izzo, the head basketball coach at Michigan State, coming up in 20 minutes. Now, remember when Rick in Buffalo called recently? I went into a break, and I promoted that call by saying, there is a legend on hold. One of the legendary callers to this radio program is on hold. And when somebody like that calls, with that kind of pedigree, that kind of resume, that kind of tenure, they go right to the front. The legends don't have to wait. They go right to the front. And as I went to break, I went to check my mentions. And almost every single mention was, it better not be Silk. It better not be Silk. Rome, it better not be Silk. And I just had a laugh. It was kind of funny. So I said there was a legend on hold. I went right to the phones, and it was, in fact, Rick in Buffalo. And he crushed the phone call, angry, bitter, wanting to fight people. And it worked perfectly, right? So let me say this. Right now, there is a legend on hold. And so what would it take for me to call somebody a legend? How do you achieve legendary status in the jungle? Number of different ways. Certainly longevity, certainly winning a strap, certainly being recognizable. He's all these things. He's recognizable. He has won a strap. He has longevity. He's consistent. Hence, he's a legend. And because he's a legend, he goes right to the front of the line. And yes, I know, it better not be Silk, Rome. It better not be. I know, I get it. Guess what? It is. We go to Silk. Except I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's in HB or he's someplace else. Let's find out. Silk Brah, what's up? Where are you, dude?
Brah, I am high in the Sierras at Mammoth Mountain, brah. Spring break, brah.
Hell yes. How is it?
Oh, dude, they got like 19 inches this weekend, and now we're in spring conditions. So me and cousin Corey headed up here, been up here for a couple days. It's blue skies, 60 degrees. It's unbelievable up here, brah.
All right, first of all, Silk, listen, I you're going to do what you're going to do, but I've got a couple of questions. If it's you and cousin Corey, where is Jen? Because I'm going to assume that she's funding this spring break. Am I right?
Brah, you are so good. This is why you're in the Hall of Fame, brah. You know how to tee your guests up. I do have a big announcement on that front. The reason why Jen Silk isn't here is because she started a new job this week. She got a big bump and a big promotion. She is now the VP of National Accounts for a brand. I won't mention it because they're not a sponsor, although they may be in the future. She's meeting with her president in Anaheim Stadium this week regarding sponsorships, brah. So Jen Silk had to stay home and earn those dollar bills, y'all, brah.
Dude, you bet your ass. Congrats, and I'm not at all surprised. Of course, Jen Silk got a big promotion. Of course, she's getting a big bump in pay. Of course, she's getting that bag. Of course, you're taking advantage of it. Hey, wait, Silk, let me anticipate what the clones are going to say. Wait, substitute teachers get spring break? How would you respond?
Bruh, I'm actually currently, although I will have some more news on that front coming up, I may be getting my dream job for next year, but this year I am at Estancia High School in Newport Mesa Unified. You know the area, bruh.
Yes, Costa Mesa.
They are, the Newport Mesa's on spring break this week. So yes, I do get a spring break.
All right, so dude, you don't want to jinx it because it hasn't happened yet, but I mean, can we speculate or can you actually say, what is your dream gig?
Dream gig is teaching middle school. That's really what I like to teach. And, I will be interviewing in May for a job. I'm not going to totally jinx it, but at a middle school in the Huntington Beach District, which is about 4 blocks from my house, so I'll be able to ride my bike to work.
Oh, dude, absolutely incredible. Listen, when I was coming to work this morning and the sun came up, so because of the rain, I couldn't even believe the snow caps, man. It has got to be so sweet there right now.
It is awesome, Brian. As I'm sure you noticed last week, even Saddleback got a little snow on it. So, yeah, it's beautiful, Brad. But listen, I mean, you and I could talk all day, but I do want to get to why I really called. And that's just, you know, the monthly reminder that the bitter no-cals, and by the way, there's a guy right in front of me wearing a San Francisco Giant Hawaiian shirt. So I'm going to speak loudly so you can hear me. The Bitter No-Cows have 1 foot in the cellar. They stink. They're awful. And the Dodgers are 10-4. And they have the Dodger game on here over at the Mill right now. Now, the Dodgers have a right fielder playing shortstop. They've got a second baseman with one leg who can't throw to first. We've got a third baseman who can't field. But we're still good. And the pitching staff hasn't even run into shape. So I'm really looking forward to a great season when things really, really get in full swing. Now, listen, brah, I know the JTX or the JXP or whatever they call themselves now and the clones, they know I'm going to be more insufferable than ever with Jen Silk's new job. But I'm also, because it's tank top weather and it's so beautiful up here, I'm about to get the moves out, brah, and get things going. So, Alvy, I don't know if you have it ready, and I know you and I sometimes fall on uneven ground, but if there's any ever a time for a sandstorm, brah, it's right now, brah. You can hit me with a sandstorm. Oh, hell yes. I'll talk to you later, brah.
Oh, dude. I hope you're rocking that bra. That was so good. That was one of his best efforts ever.
Brah.
I really should engage the brah more often. But then again, he's feeling it, right?
Brah.
Spring break. He's at Mammoth. The sun is shining. The moobs are out. There is so much snow right now, too, in Cali. And they're expecting more rain this weekend, which means more snow. He's on spring break. I mean, dude, talk about a guy living his best life. He's on spring break. The moobs are out. There's powder. Jen Silk just got a big promotion, which means she got the bag. There's more paper for him to leech and glom off of. He himself is in the game and in the running for his dream job. Way to go, Silk. I'm never here to hate, and especially on that guy. And why? Dude, he's always coming from a good place. I don't know why you get hate on that guy. He's upbeat. He's got good energy, good enthusiasm, an amazing rack. Just smashed my knee off my table, man. That hurt. Why you gotta hate on this guy? I've actually never done that before. I'm so glad that I'm not on TV right now. That was really weird. Anyway, go ahead and react. He knows. Silk's not exactly. Oh, searing pain! Searing pain! Oh! And that's where, like, Chalk or Alvy goes, that looked like that hurt. Oh, it did.
Absolute searing pain!
It did. There's where the
searing went in right there. Did you not see how
slow? Let me see some of the quick reaction. Hey, Rome. Teach him what? How to freeload? Enough small talk, Rome. The substitute teacher has things to do. Hey, Rome.
Bruh.
Since when do substitute teachers get spring break? Can't he just move to another district and work there? Grinder. Why you got hate on this guy? Hey, Rome, I hate that scumbag, Perkins waitress, jumped onto Tiger's 9-iron and ruined his marriage and his career. Signed, Ian and the Natty. Right. Brian and San Pedro. Diggs liked an ex that hates on us. Cancel the table slams, porta potty diving, and the rubadonga javelin toss. We need to retaliate on our good name. Signed, Bill's Mafia. And as I mentioned before, if there were a smack off for written takes, this guy would be in it. Hey, Van Smack, I thought we got rid of that hot take artist, Legally Bland, yesterday. Watching My Cousin Vinny while you iron your underwear, waiting for your ex-wife to bring your kids over for their monthly supervised visit does not constitute you being a, quote, attorney at law. Your spelling, your takes, and your LSAT score are all the same. Fails. Signed, Vaughn in Knoxville. You see? If I had a smack-off for written participation, Vaughn would be on the short list. Vaughn's an expert at that part of the game. Go ahead, crack on Silk. I'm here for it. I know he's here for it. At 115 USA writes, hi, Jim. Silk has the freaking life. Silk makes a lot of money because Jen makes a lot of money. Silk takes a lot of vacations because Silk gets a lot of vacations. Have fun shredding that hill with Cousin Corey, brah. Oh, he will.
Brah.
I do have some name recognition.
He does. Haunted Horse, Jim, we vote no on Silk working here. Signed, the HB Middle School Board and Huntington Beach voters. My man, and this is something else that I admire about Silk. He just kind of rolls with everything, right? Like, nothing, it just goes off his back. So I think that's probably why he said what he said, but I have to question what he said. And what I'm questioning is this. First of all, I cannot begin to tell you how thankful I am for teachers. Janet's family, DJ's family has teachers. Lots of teachers. Uncle Craig is a retired teacher. She's got a nephew who's an unbelievable guy, Jason. Jason is a super guy. He's a teacher. Man, it's a hard freaking gig, teaching. I'll be honest, I don't want that gig. That's a hard gig, especially middle school. So I say this with the utmost in respect. He just said his dream job is teaching middle school. Bruh. My man, nothing but respect and no judgment, but your dream job sounds like a freaking nightmare. It sounds miserable. The only thing that sounds more miserable than being a substitute middle school teacher is being a full-time middle school teacher. Now, maybe that's me, because those were the worst years of my life, middle school. I don't know, dude. Hey, Rome, did Silk actually have any takes, or was he just calling to give us his Facebook dinner posts for the past month? Aaron in Canton. Hey, Aaron, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how low the bar is. That call with no takes was better than any other call that I've gotten in quite some time with takes. No takes are better than horrible takes. Let me repeat that. No takes are better than horrible takes. And he actually did have takes. He had takes on the Dodgers and on Frisco and the Giants. And his life.
Come on.
And by the way, I asked him, where are you? What are you doing? That opened the door for a conversation. And when you've been calling this show, as long as that guy's been calling this show, I may have a conversation with you. At PJ in the Mile High, get at Bra in HB onto the reinvention project. Why?
I do have some name recognition.
He doesn't need it. He's fine, man. He hasn't overcome any great adversity. He doesn't need to reinvent. He's already where he needs to be. He's already set. He doesn't need to listen to the podcast because he already knows exactly who he is and what he wants, and he's already living his best life. You know what that podcast is for? Those of us who are on a journey in pursuit of something, namely living our best life, becoming the best version of ourselves, shifting our mindset. Silk has all those things already. He's fine. So he doesn't need to listen to it. And in terms of him being a guest, I mean, not really. He hasn't fully reinvented himself. He's just always been good. All right, so I'm going to get out right now. How about that? I wanted multiple calls, but where is the call that carries a whole segment and Silk just did?
Bruh.
I.e. legend. Man, I bet Mammoth is so nice right now. I can see the snow from the studio. There is so much snow right now in Cali. Spring snow, too. Spring temps. Man, it was hot yesterday. Finally, the sun came out. Although they are expecting more rain this weekend. All right, when we come back, Tom Izzo, head basketball coach, of course, Michigan State, joins us. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and then watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action, win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Remember, the playoffs get underway April 20th. The play-in round starts on April 16th and then continues on the 17th and 19th. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Prize Picks offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. I love it. You will too. Download the app right now. Use my code ROME for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, rolling retro Wednesday. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. If you're on hold, stay there. More telephone calls coming up. As promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Michigan State. Incredibly, he just completed his 29th season in that capacity. His 706 career coaching wins is the second most by an active D1 coach, trailing only Mark Few. He has an NCAA championship. He's been to 8 Final Fours. He's won 10 Big Ten regular season championships, as well as 6 Big Ten tournament titles. He is an 8-time National Coach of the Year Award winner. He is a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He is Tom Izzo. Tom, my man, it is great to have you back on the show. Tom, how are you?
Well, Jim, it's good to be back with you. I just left Irvin Johnson and one of your guys from out in your area. He was speaking here, and I just left him, but that introduction made me sound so good. How come I don't feel that good?
Man, that's great. How do you feel?
It's as you know, in athletics right now and basketball, but basketball and football especially, it's a trying time. You know, I think everybody's a little confused on where do you go, where do you start, where do you finish. It's been something in the last probably 2 years, it's really turned 180, and I think everybody's trying to figure out how to navigate it. I will too, but it's different. It's been a little different.
You know, it really is different. Tom Izzo joining us. I would dovetail. In fact, I would follow you on that. Like, for instance, John Calipari, and we could talk about the coaching carousel, man. Tom, it's amazing the way that thing's spinning, and I would even say spinning backwards. But Cal made it pretty clear in saying, you know what, I still love doing this thing. I still love to coach. I still love to teach. I still love to lead. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. You know, he made it clear that that's what he's still all about. How about you? Where do you come out? It's really different right now, but do you still feel the same way about the job? And do you still have that same passion for all of it, given all these changes?
I love my job. I love the players. I love the practices. I love the games. I love my job. I'm really questioning our profession right now. That would be the best way I could put it. You know, I think we let some things go, whether it be the NCAA, whether it be the people talking about it. Everybody seems to be taking sides. I mean, you got to understand, for me, I'm pretty straightforward, as you know, like you are. That's why I've always enjoyed you. But, I've always hoped players can make more money, and we should have done more for them in some ways. I'm not big on the transfer portal. And I'm not big on, there's not a sport in America that has no salary cap, no, without contracts. I mean, we technically, everybody says, well, you have a 1 year deal. Technically it's a 1 day deal. I mean, every day somebody can leave, every day something can change. And, so it's that part of it is concerning. And I always, this is what I say, Jim, what seems good for a certain percentage of people, I think the majority of these kids in the transfer portal and everything, there's a lot more that are failing than are succeeding, and that's what I worry about. It's not going to affect me. I mean, it's going to affect some guys with their jobs, and you wonder why there's a carousel of coaches changing. And I know some guys out there say, well, coaches can leave and do what they want. But, there's a lot more pressure on coaches now because they figure, you know, we're paying players, but we're really not paying players. We should be able to win. You know, I feel sorry. I know what John went through. Administrations, fan bases jump on you. We have things now where it used to be if you win, people were happy. If you lose, people were mad. Now you have to win by a certain amount of points with the gambling stuff and all that. And so they can be mad at you when you win, you know? So it's a lot different for coaches too, but I decided that I'm going to adjust. I'm going to find a way to adjust, and because I still love what I'm doing. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, Jay Wright, Nick Saban, you know, Magic today, and you know, there's adjustments to be made, and yet I think some people are worried about the direction we're going.
We are talking to Tom Izzo, head basketball coach, Michigan State. Like Tom, you mentioned Jay Wright. And Jay seems like he's in a pretty good spot. Jay seems like he got out at a really good time. Now, to each their own, and Jay seems like he's in a good spot. Like, how would he describe it? Do you think that he would ever, ever consider coming back, or is he loving his life the way it is?
Well, it's unfair of me to say, even though Jay's a friend of mine, and we've been on some committees together. He did a game here. We spent some time, and Nick Saban and I started together. I know what he went through, and you know, we started as assistants here at Michigan State and head coaches. Love Nick. He's the best. And I would say that, do I see those guys getting back in? No, I don't. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't happen. But I just think that the job has changed, Jim. I mean, like, this is a time of year. Usually you're on a little break, you get a little siesta, you go on a little vacation, whatever you could do. And with the transfer portal and everything, I didn't even go to the Final Four first time I missed it 29 years. And because everybody's trying to make sure your own players are right, and if you got to pick up players. And so it's changed it a little bit. But I'm kind of done complaining about it, because I was on every committee I could be to try to fight some of it. And, you know, I'd be interested to see what you think of it. I'd be interested to see what people, because some people just talk because they want to be status quo and do this and that. But I think if you're with it on a day-to-day basis, you'd say, man, this is crazy.
Yeah, Mike, if you're asking me what I think, like, you're right. I don't live with it. I don't live with it, right. And to me, it's not. Right. Yeah, I don't have to re-recruit my guys every 24 hours, although they can go too.
There you go. That's a good number, 24 hours.
You know, but I would say, look, I think that the players absolutely should get something. I've long believed that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of there need to be some guardrails. I will agree with that. Yeah. I'll give you an example, Tom. For instance, this coaching carousel thing is something else. Like, I do agree. You guys can up and go. So now the players can up and go. But I take Eric Musselman. Muss and I have known each other since we were 23 years of age. We're both 59 right now. I've known Muss a long, long time. I talked to him yesterday, and it's going to air as a podcast later on today. And I'm trying to figure out, to your point, it's not enough just to win. And it's not enough just to win. You got to win a certain way. I'm trying to figure out how a guy that went to Arkansas when Arkansas was down and out, and he leads them to back-to-back Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. What the hell is my guy doing in L.A.? I mean, I'm glad that he's home, but how do you explain something like that? How did that thing turn?
I think people should know, too, that when you say we just get to leave, I mean, 29 years as head coach, I still have a buyout. And there was years when I looked at NBA jobs or something else, I had a $7 to $10 million buyout. So we have buyouts, you know, we have something. I mean, they make it sound like coaches can just do what they want when they want. We can, but there's a price to pay. Maybe the school we go to would pay it. I don't know. But, I'm not as much on the money. I mean, I did think there has to be guardrails, cause it's out of whack, but the ability to just leave whenever, and the money deal has created a system where now we have people just shopping people around, and half of it is during the season, you know, and that's not good for the kids. It's the players. It's really not. But, you know, whatever it is, I'll do what I got to do, and I'll survive. But I think if you were here day to day, you'd feel a lot different. Not that you don't feel different, but I think you'd feel a lot different than you do.
Yeah. You know, I think, I'm not living it myself. I'm not in it. I'm not in it day to day, which Tom Izzo, my guest, which makes it all the more amazing, right, when you look at what Dan Hurley did. Because, Tom, you know how hard it is to win a national championship.
He did a great job.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Given everything you just laid out and the challenges of the job right now, that this guy went back-to-back, what do you make of that?
He's kept his culture. You know, he went in there, and Dan rules with an iron fist. I mean, he's done some things. He's got, you know, he's got the Klingman kid who's from locally there, and I think he's done a great job. But, you know, his dad, I mean, he was brought up right. You know, Irvin just talked about what his dad did for him. Well, Bob Hurley was, you know, one of the greatest high school coaches ever. He's a John Wooden of high school coaches, you know. And so I think Dan was raised right. I think he's handled it right. And And remember this, too. You know, like when, I mean, we went to three Final Fours in a row. We went twice to two Final Fours in a row. Not winning it, but going to one. I mean, you got to be good, and then you got to be a little lucky. And I think they were really good and didn't need as much luck. They're one of the rare teams. We played Carolina in 09, and, you know, they beat us by 20 in the championship game, and I thought that was one of the best teams. They didn't need any luck. But I'll bet you most of the time that's not the case. You know, you to get through those six games, Jimmy, you gotta be good enough, and then you got to be kind of lucky. But Hurley and Danny, I love what he did. I love some of his comments, read some of his stuff, you know. I mean, he's 51 or something. He calls himself old school because his dad wouldn't let him do it any other way.
Right. Tom Izzo joining us. You know, something else you can relate to, Tom, because you've got that same fire in your gut that he does. People who don't know and don't know the guy, and especially you watch the championship game, you know, you have a lot of people who are casual fans that don't really know the game or don't really watch the game, and they see this guy, man, and he's really animated and he's really intense, and they don't really get it. And then you've got people who do know the game who just don't like it because they don't like it. Can you explain what it's like to be on that sideline in that moment, under that pressure, in those high leverage situations, and try to maintain that emotion? What it's like for a coach?
Yeah, you know, it is funny because, you know, again, I mean, I came here and Urban was already gone, but he used to come back here to work out. He talked about Pat Riley and how crazy he was and the practices and the things that went on. I think of Nick Saban. I think of, you know, the Belichicks of the world. I mean, most people that sustain excellence, you know, maybe John Wooden was a little exception to the rule, although, hell, he made Bill Walton get his hair cut. I mean, we did that. Now we'd probably get sued, you know. I mean, it's a different time. But, you know, that sideline of a, especially when they had all the pressure on them, I thought that's one thing Purdue might be able to do is if they could keep it close enough, then the pressure goes on Danny for what they did. But I just think of all the coaches I've looked at lately, he did as good a job as any, and he did it the way he wanted to do it, and he does do it with a little bit of fire. He is, I guess, a little old. I don't know what old school means. I mean, it's right school or wrong school, not old school or new school. But whatever he believes, he holds people accountable and got the job done. And I enjoyed watching it.
I did, too. I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. I love that family. I love that guy. And he rubs me the right way. Tom Izzo joining us. You know, Tom, you mentioned family, his family. Let me ask you about this before you go. Your son, Steve, was on the roster as a grad student after he joined the team as a walk-on in 2019. I'm curious, what was it like to coach him? And how would you describe being able to share this experience in those years with him in that manner?
Well, did you see Danny Hurley's son at the end of the game?
Yep.
You know, and my kid was laughing. He says he leads the team in turnovers and he only plays 30 seconds a game. And because Danny always makes him hold the ball at the end. He won't even let him take a shot because he doesn't want to rub anything in. I love that. I love that. And, you know, my son, you know, it was a long story on why he came out. But the biggest reason is, you know, I spent 18 years raising everybody else's kids. And not my own, because my wife did, and thank God for that. But didn't get to spend the time. And you know, Jimmy, the first game when he came as a walk-on, and he wasn't good enough to play here. I mean, everybody knows it. But it was my time, my 5 years to spend with him. And the first game was at Madison Square Garden, I think against Kentucky, in the Tournament of Champions. And I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm looking at him warming up, and I'm saying, man, as a Division II guy myself, but I gave my right and left arm just to warm up, you know? It was the greatest experience. If I was ever a parent, and Danny and I talked about his own son, it's worth it. It's worth every minute. I'm sure it was hard in the locker room. We had a rule, what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room. Can you imagine how many days those players were mad at the head coach?
Yeah, right.
And his son is sitting right in the locker. But what I loved about my team, they respected him enough that they knew he wasn't going to say nothing. There were even sometimes I said, well, man, maybe I could ask Steven, you know, how the locker room is. But I never did that, and he never gave me any advice. And, And for that, I truly love him, appreciate him. And it was, I would recommend it to anybody if the opportunity arrives, because so many of us don't get to spend the time from 1 to 18. And so I got from 18 to 23 for him. I got to spend some quality time.
I think that's awesome. I love that anecdote that, man, it couldn't have been easy for him at times to be in that locker room when the other guys were pissed off because coach is going so hard. He's going so hard. So what are you going to do besides go right back to the portal, hang up the phone, and get back to work? Any downtime, any free time, what are you going to do in the next couple of weeks?
Well, you know, I got an alum that might take me to the Masters just Saturday morning back Saturday
okay.
night.
Now we're talking.
But, so I might do that. And but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to try to get this team better. You know, I love the NCAA tournament to me is the greatest show on earth. You know, I'm a big football fan. As you know, Super Bowl is great, but there's something about the NCAA tournament that is special. And I don't want to play in the first weekend or just the second weekend. I'd like to play in the third weekend. And so that'll be the off season. You know, when I'm done, I got a chance someday to take vacations and do things. Right now, I just want to find a way to get my team a little better and spend a little time and try to figure out the portal and try to figure out the new player. I'm talking to a lot of my former players. I'm going to get it straightened out, worked out. And then next year I'm going to talk to you and things are going to be rocking and rolling.
Hell yes. Hell yes. I love that. I love that about you. I've always loved that about you, Tom. You and I, this is not an original idea or an original pack, but you and I will sleep when we're dead.
Exactly. Hey, I love that. And that's why, you know, from way back in the jungle, man, I've always appreciated. You know, you brought up something. You asked about the sideline and demeanor of people. You know, what I always loved about you, when I see you on TV or I hear you on the radio, I can feel the passion through your voice, you know. If people can't show that passion on the sidelines, or if Nick Saban can't and this guy can't and that guy can't, Danny Hurley can't, you know, why would you be good at anything, you know? Anybody that's good at something is passionate about it. That's the way I look at it. And I think of Magic, you know, in those days, and think of Jordan pumping his fist. I mean, there's just some things that champions do and guys that are like that. And so if there's criticism for how we act on the sidelines, bring it on.
Bring it on. Kobe, too, I would add to that. Tom Izzo.
Kobe, great, great line. Kobe, you know, calling out people because they weren't in shape. I mean, you know, it's not supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done by people that don't like what they do, don't love what they do, but live what they do. And that's what I think we're going to try to do.
It's a lifestyle. It's an identity. Tom Izzo, longtime friend of the program. Me personally, Tom, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate the relationship. I appreciate all the amazing conversations we've had. That's another one right there. So enjoy the Masters. Know they're going to take your phone, my guy, but I know you'll be back at it, and you and I will do it again
good,
soon.
Man. I'm enjoying them taking my
good.
I'm going to leave it in the plane, man.
Good.
I don't even want it for one 12-hour
period. That's it.
But
that's the attitude. Exactly. That's
Jimmy,
the best
thanks
part.
Thanks for having me on, and anytime you need me, I'm here for you. I've always appreciated it.
I appreciate you. Tom Izzo joining us, going long form. That was like a conversation, as always, not an interview, but a conversation where a podcast broke out. I can run that as a podcast. My thanks to Tom Izzo. All right, so your thoughts, your reaction to that. That could be either podcast. That could be the Reinvention Project. That could be the Jim Rome podcast. That could be any of the above. All right, that was nice. Man, how nice? Like 15 minutes nice? 18 minutes nice? Let's get out. A legendary Tom Izzo appearance. That's why I ran him down after the event. Because when my thanks to Tom Izzo, ATP now. It is time to ask the pros. You clones get to submit a question, and I get to answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Yo, Jimothy, are we going to get some Masters picks from the Big Stupid? At Big Head Bets. Just do it. War is shared belief.
leaving Big Stupid in control?
You know, if it were up to me, yes. But it's not up to me. It's the Big Stupid. He kind of comes and goes as he pleases. If he's up for it, I would say yes. And he says yes. He's up for it. All right, so the answer is yes. You will get some Masters picks. The Big Stupid generally does really well in the majors. This guy Ward, or this person Ward, Shared Belief. They didn't sign it. You know the Big Horse, Shared Belief? Passed away almost 10 years ago. God, time, man. Time is a bitch. Hey, Jim, do the XR4 TI people behind the glass ever make you laugh? Do you have a prankster on your crew? Pete in Youngstown. You know what's funny? Alan. Alan makes me laugh.
Thank you, Alan.
Alan cracks me up. And Alan is the prankster. Hence, the dead roach in the manila folder. Chalk's funny. Chalk's got kind of an Ivy Jersey wit to him. James Kelly's funny. Funny to look at. No, James Kelly's funny. Alvin is the sneakiest. It's not even sneaky. Like, Alvin's funny. Alvin is much funnier, like, when he G-chats me than when he communicates directly with me. But he'll write things that I'm like, that laugh out loud funny. So, yes, the answer is the XR4 TI does crack me up. Then when he communicates No, dude, I'm not going to work. Loud. The show's supposed to be funny and entertaining. I'm not going to work with a bunch of people that aren't funny. That wouldn't work. Then I'd be miserable. And then if I show up on the air miserable every single day, then you're miserable. And then everybody's miserable. And then it all goes away. Dear, look, this guy's having a day. Damn, Drew. Drew, you're like that. Drew in West LA. You'll go away for like months. And then all of a sudden you'll show up in bunches. High volume. High volume. High volume. Dear Jim Rome Esquire, ATP, do you embarrass Logs and Jake Rome when they bring their crushes around? Do you make lame dad jokes? Drew in West LA. No. No, you know why, Drew? Because I'm not a lame dad. No. I mean, honestly, no. They're funny like that. Jake Rome is like DJ. Jake Rome is super outgoing, super engaging, super communicative. Jake Rome is one of those people. They're both really good like this. They both can speak to young people and adults and authority figures. Like, they're both really good like that. Jake Rome is just more like Janet. Really outgoing. Logs is kind of a man of mystery. Logs plays it really close to the vest. Logs only let... Like, Jake will tell us almost everything, and Logs will tell us what he wants us to know and no more. Like, I'm not really sure what's going on inside that kid's head most of the time. Except when they bring their crushes around, no. No, I'm cool. I'm good. I'm good like that. Because normally when they bring their crushes around, I've got a 42 in me. So I'm great. It does not get awkward. And luckily, we've raised them right. So they roll with the right friends. Like, Jake's got a girlfriend that he's had that he met in Madison. She's from Long Island. Her name's Jane. She's great. We love her. Great gal. Logs is playing it pretty low-key in Boulder. Whatever he's got going on, he's not telling me. And then when I ask him, he doesn't always tell me either. That's the only time it gets awkward sometimes. I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know what I mean. What's up? He's like, no, I don't know what you mean. I'm like, come on, man. But then it gets even more awkward when DJ gets involved. See, I don't get involved. DJ gets involved. And she's obviously not listening or she'd be blowing me up right now. Awkward. Hi, Jim. Does the fob to your luxury sled have a keychain? If so, what is it? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. Nah, not really. My keychain is this busted up, falling apart chain that came from the dealer. And nothing exotic going on with that. I'll tell you what, though. I was talking to Tommy about this during the break. I don't know what's going on. But even where we live, you know, in a burb outside of L.A., which should be low key. Man, there is so much anger on the road right now. I can't even believe how much anger and road rage there is on the road. I don't even mean like on the road. I mean in parking lots. I mean on residential streets. People are F-bombing me, flipping me off, and I'm completely minding my own business. And even if it's not me, I can hear other people F-bombing other people. I'm like, what is going on? How are people so, so angry? 5:20 in the morning. I'm coming to work this morning, and I'm on the road at 5. It's 5:20. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm hitting the nitro, and I'm still half asleep. Stayed up really late last night. Didn't sleep real well. Rough night. I'm not really sharp. Sharp enough to get from point A to point B. But I'm driving, and I look up all of a sudden, and this dude's on my ass. And there's nobody on the road but me and him. And I'm like, are you kidding? I must have changed lanes and gone in front of him. And I'm like, man, how can you be that angry that early in the morning when I'm still half asleep? The other night, DJ and I went into the supermarket. This guy's pulling out at a crazy angle, by the way. So I start to go around him, and this dude's windows down, full F-bombs, double bird. I'm like, bro, what? What just happened? What did I do? I'm taking a wide turn around you so you can make that stupid angle back up, which was probably illegal in a one-way lane. Like, why are people so mad? I'm just trying to get into the market to get some coffee. Anyway, huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Is your vehicle no longer stopping like it used to? Restore your brake performance and save when you buy brake best.